The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday after Trinity is written in Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is the Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Delium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Romans chapter 6. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. In those days when again a great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away." And his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied, and they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full, and there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for the seventh Sunday after Trinity is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. Jesus said, "I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away, they will faint on the way." Thus far the text. In the Garden of Eden, food came without toil. The garden was fruitful and abundant. There were no storehouses or silos, no preservatives. There was no competition for food with mice and mold or weeds. But that all changed when Adam played the lazy free will card, giving up the authority he was created to hold, not being the head of the household as he was so ordered by God, but sitting back instead and watching as his wife was seduced by the serpent, failing to protect her, to properly guide her, even subjecting himself to her directive toward him to eat of the fruit, reaching instead for the knowledge of good and evil, seeking in his own lust to be like God, eating the poisonous lie along with Eve, and then knowing his nakedness. Yet God's mercy is past all understanding. He did not abandon Adam and Eve the way that man would and does abandon those who are considered unfaithful toward us. By God's grace, you still eat. The earth gives up its fruit. Oh, to be sure, it requires toil and sweat from mankind, the sinful sons of Adam, but it eventually gives up its fruit. Herbicides and fertilizer, machinery, and the collective wisdom of ages past has made it easier, but it's still not the garden planted by God and tended by angels. It's not the garden originally supervised by sinless Adam, where work wasn't really work. It was pure service in joy. Now, you can let the fields go wild and unattended by human hands, and they will bear a little fruit, but certainly not enough to support mankind. Men must work the soil now, fighting back the weeds, the insects, the animals, and disease. Men must work to gather in the grain and protect it. And even when it has been processed and baked into bread or other food, still the mice and mold threaten it. And it must be eaten quickly before it is stolen or succumbs to be rotten. And through all of this, as to be expected, mankind, sinful mankind, thinks that it's their labor that was the key to its existence. Because of their toiling, mankind has thought that they put the bread on their table, that it came by their efforts and their wisdom. Farmers have drank their coffee and judged one another as good or not so good on the basis of the straightness of the rows that were plowed, or the bounty of their acres, or the profit of their farms. They've brought their wisdom and technology, their strength and their discipline to bear, indeed bringing a harvest home. But they've also thought, as sinful man does, that it was their own doing. But it never was. It never is. For whenever men eat, it is God who provides. My friends, you are but a single natural disaster, or terrorist attack, or who knows what, away from famine. John Deere doesn't make a tractor that can stop bombs, hurricanes, plagues, or stock market crashes. The Lord once multiplied bread and fish to feed a mob who would eventually turn on him. He had compassion. He did not want to see them faint on the way. But what of those who are fainting? What of those who are losing their loved ones through war or divorce or other great shame or vice? What of those who are losing their loved ones through natural disasters, old age, or fatal diagnoses? What of those who are truly losing their loved ones through unbelief? There's an answer here in the feeding of the 4,000. There is great comfort, but it cannot be rushed. The anguish of this fallen world must be felt. The tears must flow, for the law must have its way, bringing you, bringing all of sinful mankind to your knees. The Lord wept at the death of Lazarus, even though he knew better than Martha. He wept even though he knew that Lazarus would rise that very day. So you shall weep as well, but weep without shame. Let no man say that these evil things are God's will. But while you weep, confess that God is still good, and that he uses all things, even evil things, even bad situations and circumstances, for his good. For this reality that you are not in control and that you live in the midst of death and uncertainty in a dying and decaying world, this confession of God's truth must bring you to your knees. For you're not in control. The world and your sinful flesh does not guarantee you safety. No grief counselors or re-education to whatever degree, no police force or Washington bureaucrat, no army or laws or spy satellites can give you true safety. Even if terrorism ceases, which it won't because of sinful flesh, even if terrorism ceases, earthquakes, tsunamis, and hurricanes will still come. Volcanoes will erupt. Men will continue to steal and lie and cheat and kill one another for the sake of greed, pride, lust, abuse of authority, and even payback, as was demonstrated in Dallas. But as bad as it is, as bad as it can get in this valley of sorrows, according to God's holy scriptures, your sins, your guilt, your treachery and betrayal, your selfish pride deserves far worse than the worst than this world can give. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. You did not put food on the table. It was a gift from God. You did not earn it. He does not owe you anything. You do not have the right to tell him what to do or make him who you want him to be. Don't think that you do not turn away from him or think more highly of yourselves or your efforts than his. He is good. You are not. And yet, he knows what he is doing. He has poured out what you deserve onto his Son. And he promises you a righteousness that is freely given to you for your goodness through his suffering, a righteousness of faith. He takes what man meant for evil and he makes it good. He turns it into the greatest good that will ever be. Trust not in any righteousness of your own. Trust not in any righteousness of works. By the grace of God, be not afraid. Keep your eyes fixed on Christ crucified. God is good. This eternally reminds you of that. What can the winds and the waves, the guns and bombs, the lies and threats of any kind do to you? Through faith alone, you belong to God. His compassion for the 4,000 displays his compassion for you. Believing and being baptized into Jesus, you are the Son in whom he is well pleased. He doesn't want to see you faint in grief or terror, in fatigue or famine. But better that than that you become complacent or forget your dependence upon him. Better that than that you stray from the way and lose your soul. Always he would feed you, provide for you, comfort and love you. Always he welcomes you back. And always, as it proclaims in God's word, there is angelic rejoicing when you repent. The crowd that Jesus fed would crucify him, choosing a murderer to go free. They wanted a bread king, someone to pamper them in their flesh and give them what they wanted when they wanted it. He knew their sinful desires, but it did not stop him. It did not quench his compassion. God is no respecter of persons, no matter what the vocation, no matter what the color of the skin. With God, there is not a Black Lives Matter or Blue Lives Matter. With God, all lives matter. And He loves them all to the point of sending His Son to fully atone for everyone's sins. He has no discretion, no prejudice or malice, no exceptions. Jesus knew that they would turn on Him, that they hated Him, that they would not receive the grace He had to offer them. But He loved them anyway. He provided. He was moved by compassion, and He fed them. His love provided. Just as He gave His life to atone for the sins of the whole world, and that includes yours, He always gives without measure. His compassion is without end, and His resurrection is the life and hope of all who believe in Him, even while they endure living in this valley of sorrows. Here then is the comfort. As hard as it is for flesh to hear, this is the comfort. You are not in control. God is. He wants you to trust in His providential care of you, and only He will bring you to that trust as He gathers you in to hear His living and active word. But as He provides, as He draws you in to have you realize your dependence upon Him, meeting you in the midst of your afflicted life, here comes the overabundance of comfort. For even more important than His providence of you is His salvation for you. For providence doesn't save, my friends. Justification does. And justified, that is, declared righteous, you are, by grace alone, because of the fully atoning merits of Christ Jesus alone, through faith alone. The real feeding is not in the feeding of this frail body. It's in the feeding of your soul. He beckons you to Himself this day for a soul feeding. He beckons you to feed you His body and His blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins, to be joined to Him, strengthened and encouraged in the hope of things to come, to be kept with Him in the one true faith. His ways are past finding out, but whenever men eat, it is God who provides, not because He has to, not because He owes you, but simply because He is love. And He has compassion. His love is without measure. And His mercy endureth forever. For man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.